revival, and I want to continue that thought out of the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. And hold your hand or put a card or something in the place of Proverbs 6, and then go back or forward, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you'll remember last week when we were talking about revival, we talked about this verse of Scripture and said that though this is a national promise, that some of the principles are for individuals, and some of them would even apply to the church. And so we'll look at this very familiar passage of Scripture. Tonight I want to talk to you about pride. Pride. How many of you say, "Preacher, I have a problem with pride"? Raise your hand. Okay. So I'm going to be preaching to you tonight. Now, primarily I'm going to be preaching to those who didn't raise their hand, because they have too much pride to raise their hand that they have a problem with pride. But I'm going to be preaching to you that raised your hand, too, because we all struggle with pride. Let me tell you something about pride that you probably already know. Now, perhaps you don't. I don't know what you know about the sin of pride. But the sin of pride is the most devastating sin of all. It is a sin that is very deceptive. It's very deceptive. It is a sin that is very destructive. It is probably the leading cause of people dying in their sin and going to hell. Pride. Too much pride. Not willing to bring themselves under the authority in life, in particular the authority of God. It was pride that caused Satan to be cast out of heaven. It is pride that causes men and women to argue to the place even where they're willing to break their covenant and get a divorce. It is pride that causes people to bow up and lose friendships of many years. It is pride that causes people to be unwilling to forgive or to accept forgiveness. Pride is a terrible sin, and all of us struggle with it. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. So the question is not, is it something that we struggle with? The question is, do we realize that this sin can be not only evident but prevalent in our lives? And it can cause us to miss God's blessing. Pride has cost many Christians the victory. Pride has cost many Christians not only the victory, but it's cost many Christians the power of God in their lives. I'm somewhat taken back when I look into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I look at what the Lord is saying here. If my people, in verse number 14, again, a very familiar passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, it is pride that will tell you right now while I'm reading the Scripture, I don't need a message on pride. You know, pride will do that. I've heard messages on pride. I don't need a message on pride. Yes, you do. It's something that we struggle with. It is pride that causes us to think that we know better than God. Now think about that for a moment. You say, "Well, now, preacher, I never think I know better than God." I think that you do. I know that I have. And I think that you do. I can't prove it because I don't know your heart. But I do know something about the pride of man. And I know some of the things that lead us to do and think some of the things that we lead, do and say. Now, what is pride? Well, before I get into that, tonight we're going to answer a couple of questions. Okay, we're going to look at the what and the why of pride. And the next week, the Lord willing, we'll look at the how. I told you last week that I wanted to see what some of these things look like. And so I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Now that's where we're going to stop, but I want to read on just so you'll see the category that this is in. And seek and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, for whatever reason, I think it's pride. You can read this verse of Scripture and think, you know what? We really need to pray. And we do. But that's not the first thing we need to do. That's not what God said. So, well, you know, we really need to seek God's face. We sure do. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. Amen, church? Say, preacher, I need to pray more. I do too. Preacher, I need to seek God's face. I do too. Look what it says. And turn from their wicked ways. Well, if we could just get people to turn from their wicked ways, right? But that's not the first thing. God said the first thing you need to do is humble yourself. You need to deal with this sin of pride before you can take it to the next steps. And so I want you to keep that in mind. Now I want you to think about this as you're turning back to Proverbs. What is pride? Because if we're not careful, you know, we need to humble ourselves because of pride. What's the deal with pride? Why do we need to humble ourselves? What is pride? Anybody? I'd like to take just a few moments and tell you what it's not. Okay? We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We'll just turn to some scripture, and I'll read some here out of chapter 6 in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer, and as we pray, I want you to just say, Lord, you know, is there pride in my life? Do I have pride in my life? Am I being deceived into thinking I don't have pride, but I do? I'm not indicting you. I'm asking you to ask yourself some very honest questions. Is there pride in my life? And if there is, am I willing to identify it and do what it needs to be done to get it out of my life so I can go to the next step and then I can pray? See, I find it interesting that it's humble yourself first and then pray. The reason a lot of people don't pray is because they don't think they need to. I've got this. What do I need to pray about that for? I know what I'm going to do, and I know how to do it. We're talking about pride. We can go through life, and like today, we can go through today, go through tomorrow, and the rest of this week, and think, you know, I'm good, I'm fine. I don't need to deal with this thing called pride. But when we go about life and we never consult God or His Word or His way, that is the greatest evidence that we are steeped in pride. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. And so when I attempt to do things outside of His help, what I'm basically doing is saying, I'm sufficient enough. God, I don't need you. And that in and of itself is probably the greatest form of pride. Self-sufficiency. When you look at the sins of Sodom, God said it was their pride. Now listen, I know it was sodomy. I understand that. But it was pride. When you read Ezekiel 16, you'll see that it was pride, brethren. Pride. Abundance of bread. It was self-sufficiency. When you look at the church of Laodicea, which is really characterized as the end times, and many will say, well, we're in the end times. And I believe that we are. But I want to make it very clear that just because I believe we're in the end times doesn't mean that I can't have revival. It doesn't mean that you can't have revival. It doesn't mean that we can't have revival. God's always revived a remnant. God's always had a remnant. Revival really is, do you want it? It's not, will God give it? God has already said He would revive. And so we have to deal with some things biblically in order to bring it about. He said in that verse back in 2 Chronicles, I will do this. Not, you know, I'll consider it. I'll give it some thought. We'll wait and see what happens. He said, listen, you humble yourself and you pray and you seek my face and you turn from your wicked ways and I will hear from heaven. And I'll do something. I'll heal your land. Is that what the Bible says? We believe the Bible, right? We're Bible believers. And so I'm trying to help us all to understand, don't buy into this thing. Well, you know, we're in the last days, and so we can't have a spiritual awakening. We can't have a move of God. We cannot have an anointing or a freshness from the presence of the Lord. We can't have that anymore. Those days are over. Well, if nothing's impossible with God, I don't think those days are over. We either believe that some things are impossible or they're not. And the Bible says, with God, all things shall be possible. Amen. You believe that, church? I believe you do. And so, really, it's on us now. God said, I will do some things, but now I'm going to give you some things you must do before I do some things. And so he's kind of, as the saying goes, put the ball in my court. What are you going to do? You going to humble yourself? Well, I don't have pride. I think you do. We'll see in just a moment. All right? We'll give you a little self-test. And again, I'm not trying to talk you into having pride. I don't have to do that. Sin will take care of itself in our lives. And so we get over to Proverbs. I want to read a couple of few verses in Proverbs chapter 6, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. And then I want us to see what pride looks like. Because if we're not careful, we'll have in our mind what pride looks like. And, of course, it always looks like it wears better on someone else, right? I mean, pride always looks like, yeah, it's they're wearing it. But I don't wear pride. I don't have that. It's them. It's them that has it. And that's really a big part of pride. Other people's sin looks bigger than mine. Right? Right? Is that what pride does? Pride magnifies the sin of others. But it kind of all but justifies the sin of me. Pride makes your sin worse than mine. But can I tell you? My sin is just as bad as yours. Sin is sin at the end of the day. And when we get into this thing of, well, you know, their sin is terrible, mine's not so bad. Pride's got us. Pride has us. You have your Bible in Proverbs chapter 6. I want you just to look at verse 16 through 19 with me. Very familiar again. Very familiar passages of Scripture. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, I don't know that you could be any more clear than that. But among those seven, what people call deadly sins, or the things that God hates, that are an abomination. Somebody raise your hand and tell the church tonight what the word abomination means. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Disgusting with a stench. It's a stench. God hates it. In my Christian life, I haven't always been faithful to do this, but I've tried to find the things that God loves and love them. And find the things that God hates and hate them. I think it's a pretty good way to live life. But it's much easier to say than it is to do. Now, here's things that are just laid right out there, and God says, you know what? I hate these things. Can I ask you a question? Do you? Do you hate, in verse number 16, do you hate a proud look? See how you can wear pride? A proud look, we'll talk about that a little later on. A lying tongue. Oh, preacher, I don't lie. Well, don't lie now. Don't lie about lying. You know what causes people to lie about lying? Pride. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift and run into mischief. Just can't wait to get in on it. The latest gossip or the latest tail bearing or the latest thing that's going on. Just can't wait to be a part of it. Got to hear what's going on, you know. I said, I hate that. I hate that. Well, I want to hate it too. And I believe you do too. The scripture says this, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Just somebody just out to try to just separate the brethren and just lie and sow discord. Hey, did you hear? You know, well, you know what so-and-so said, right, about you? Just on and on. Tell you right now, God hates that. I hope you do. God help us all to hate it. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. I pray for your will to be done. God, teach us some things from your word, but I pray you go deeper than that. Father, I pray you'd speak to my heart. You'd speak to the hearts of your people. And not only stir us, but God, change us. We need some change. Help us to confess our sin. And help us, Lord, to see the need. The need to see is to see the need. And I pray you'd help us to do that. We need to see where our weaknesses are. And so that can only come about through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit of God, I pray, remove the scales from my eyes and the eyes of your people tonight. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Give us help that we need in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I wrote down some things about pride, and I want to pass them on to you. Pride causes me to think more highly of myself than I ought. And it does. Pride divides that which should be united. Pride divides. Pride causes me to look down on others. Think I'm something. I'm a cut above or a little better. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm made of the same dust that everyone else is made of, and you are too. I may have a few more things. I may have a few more characteristics than some, but some may have more than me. It doesn't make me better than the ones that I have more of or less than the ones I don't. Amen. But pride will cause me to think that way. Pride causes me to defend myself and seek vengeance. Pride keeps me from apologizing and giving forgiveness. Pride makes the sin of others look big and my sin look small. Pride causes me to blame others instead of taking responsibility for my action, my reactions, and even my inactions. Pride. Pride always has a reason why it's not me. Pride can lull me into a state of complacency to think I'm okay. Let me ask you a few questions. You ready for the self-check? Is it hard for you to seek advice or counsel? Or do you have all the answers? When someone corrects you or even instructs you, does it irritate you? Does it irritate you when someone instructs you or even corrects you? Get a little upset? Who do they think they are? Well, maybe they're an authority in your life that God put there, and you need to reverence that. Amen. Are you constantly judging and condemning other people? Just constantly. Nobody can do anything but you the right way. Is it difficult for you to be happy for others, especially for those that are ahead of you? Can you rejoice when the people over you get an advancement, but you're looked over? Can you be happy for them? Or do you start finding reasons why you should have got that instead of them? Are you always wanting others to know how much you do, seeking the praise of others and a pat on the back? See, these are forms of pride that can creep into our lives, and we think, well, you know what? I should have got the credit for that. Or I should have got the recognition for that. Does it really matter who gets the recognition? Especially when it's done for Jesus. Amen. But see, pride can cause us to get offended by those kinds of things. It just can. Pride tells us things like, I should be singing the solo in that song. I should be the one that's speaking on Wednesday night. I should be the one that should be teaching that Sunday school class. I should be the one that should be heading up that project. I should be the supervisor on the site. I should be the one making the decisions. See, pride tells us these kind of things. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. In most instances, it really doesn't matter. Now, listen, I understand that there's sometimes that things like that do matter. Let's see what the Bible says about pride. I know God hates it. If I didn't know anything else about it, I know enough. God hates it. So I want to find out what it is and how I can stay away from it. I don't want pride to consume my life. I don't even want it to be a part of my life. I think pride probably is the biggest hindrance of revival in our lives above everything else. What is pride? If I were to ask you to come up here and tell the congregation tonight, this is what pride is, what would you say? Now think about that for a moment before we move on. What is pride? How is pride defined? What is pride? What does pride look like? How do you wear it? How do you define it? Can you describe it? Pride. It's going to be kind of hard to hate something as God hates it if we don't know what it is or how to identify it. When I read the book of Proverbs, and we'll see in here in just a moment, we're just going to go through and name some scripture, it becomes very evident what pride is. Pride is not self-esteem. It's not even self-respect. God wants you to have self-respect. God wants us to have self-esteem and self-worth. Amen. God, listen, there's nothing wrong with honoring people. We give honor where honor is due. Right? Husbands, did you know that the Bible says you're to honor your wife? 1 Peter chapter 3. That's not pride. I honor my wife. I believe you honor yours. If you don't, I think you should. The Bible says so. That's not pride. The Bible says that children are to honor their parents and to obey their parents. That's not pride. To honor someone, to honor a representative that has done something worthy of honor. We give honor where honor is due. Is that what the scripture teaches? Church, is it? Yes. Reverence is not even pride. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that wives are to reverence their husbands. Respect. Reverence. And so pride is not dressing well or looking your best or being astute or being intelligent or carrying yourself in a certain fashion or manner. Sometimes people get that mixed up. And they say, well, that's pride. No, I don't think so. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I find the exact opposite. I believe God wants a person to look, do, and be their best, don't you? Amen. Everyone should have said amen there. We're Christians, brethren. We're examples. We're examples of our Lord. You ought to give it your all. You ought to do your best. So that's not pride. So please don't think, well, you know what? I've got to dress real drab and I can't, you know, look my best and be neat and well-groomed and astute and intelligent and do my very best in life, because if I do, somebody's going to think I'm full of pride. Well, that's not your problem. That's theirs. Because that's not pride. That's a certain kind of pride, but it's not a sinful pride. You ought to take some care of yourself and some care of your appearance and some care of the way you approach things in life. All of us should. We represent Jesus. Amen. And so that's not what pride is. Pride is self-sufficiency. And I want you to hear this. Pride is an independence of God. I don't need God. I'm going to show you that from the scripture here in just a moment. I don't need God. I don't need God's advice. I don't need God's word. I don't need God's laws. I don't need certain people or certain things of God. I'm all right. I got this, right? I mean, it's kind of that attitude that's come about in the last few years here in our society. I got this. First of all, it's poor grammar. It's I've got this. Amen. So if you're going to say it right, with pride. But that's the way a lot of people approach life now. Oh, I've got this. I don't need no counsel. I don't need advice. I know what I want. I'm going after it. What'd God say about it? Well, I didn't seek him. Well, you're full of pride. That's why people don't seek God. Did you pray today? Or you got this? You see? Now that's the way it is. We're not careful. Would you read God's word today? Get the instruction from the manual of life. Get any instruction from the word of God today, or do you got this? See, that's pride. Pride has said, I can do this. Now, it may not come right out and say it. Like, I may not walk up to Brother Brian or to Brother John and say, you know what? I didn't read my Bible today because I didn't need it. I got this. I'm not going to pray about what God wants me to do about this certain situation because I got this. So we may not say it verbally. Pride is not always what we say. It's what we do. And so pride can be very deceptive, to where we can think, well, I don't have pride. Well, now, wait a minute. Are you trusting your maker? Are you trusting your Savior? Jesus said that the Spirit of God is to lead and guide us into all truth. Are we trusting him to guide us? Have we submitted to his leadership? Have we asked for his guidance in our lives? Have we brought ourselves under his authority? And so pride is an independence of God. It's saying, God, I don't need you. Now, it may not come right out and say it that way, but in our actions. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? I don't think there's a person sitting here, I really don't, that would just say, you know what, I don't need God. But our actions will say it louder than our words. If we never seek him, if we never pray and ask him for his help and his guidance and his provision, then we're saying it without saying it. That is pride. That is pride. That's the highest form of pride. I'm not going to bring myself under the authority of no one. I'm in charge. I make my own decisions. Nobody going to tell me what to do, you know. May not be that aggressive or that adamant about it, but it's kind of shows up in our lives. You say, well, preacher, I don't need to hear that. I'm fine. Wait a minute now. What or who is telling you that? You do your own homework. Do you seek God's face? Are you asking for God's guidance? Or are you making all the decisions without seeking him? It's very easy to go through life and leave God out of it as a Christian, because we have an enemy, and it's not just the devil. Our flesh is an enemy. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they're contrary. My flesh and my spirit are contrary the one to the other, so that I cannot do the things that I would. There is a battle raging for control in my life and in your life. And I just want to help you. I want to help us. I want to be the best version of me I can be. And I know the best version of me I can be is when I'm following the Lord. When I'm following me, I'm telling you now, things that are not so good are just apt to happen. And I think if each one of us would be transparent with ourselves, that's where transparency begins, with ourselves and before God. And so there's this self-sufficiency, this self-reliance, right? Now, what follows that? What follows that? Think about it. Our world is self-reliant. Our world doesn't look to God for answers. Our world doesn't pray to God. And it's gotten deep into our churches, and it can get into the preacher's life. It can get into your life. None of us are exempt from it. There's this movement to where, you know, you do your thing, you go, you be you. There's this movement that just leaves God out of every decision. Can I tell you, You made some decisions last week that you would not have made had you prayed about it. I made some decisions last week that I would not have made had I asked God about it. And I'm not being mean, I'm being straight. That's pride, brethren. And then we wonder, what's wrong with me? Pride? Pride's what's wrong with you. It's what's wrong with me. We're too reliant on us instead of Him. Now, we all need revival. But not all of us want revival. And I'm going to say that again. The church needs revival. But not everyone in the church wants revival. Revival's going to cost you something. Revival's going to call for change. And we get comfortable and we don't want change because we like the way we're doing things. See, God does things different than us, right? Yes. And so self-sufficiency, self-reliance, you know what follows that? Always. Check it out. In your life and the life of others, look at the history of man, look at our world today. There's one thing that always follows self-reliance and self-sufficiency. Ingratitude. Ingratitude. I done it. Why do I need to thank God for it? Why do I need to thank God? Why do I need to thank anybody? I done it. I done it. I owe God no thanks, no gratitude. And it's crept into our churches. It's crept into our homes. It controls our nation. It's a worldwide epidemic. The spirit of unthankfulness, brethren. How much time did I spend thanking God today for His blessings? See, I get to cheat a little bit. It's not really cheating. It's just I have a little bit of an advantage. I have to ask myself these questions before I ask you. Other than bowing your head and saying a few second prayer, if you've even done that, and I'm not being mean to you now. I'm just saying, I hope that you do. What did you thank God for today? How many of you say, you know what, preacher? Now listen, I want you to participate with me. Don't lose me. Please stay with me. How many say, preacher, I consider myself in pretty good health? Raise your hand. Let me look around here okay. You can put your hand down. How many of you thank God for your health today? Now don't raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand there. I'm just asking you that question. And yet you have good health, and your health is directly connected to the goodness of God. Raise your hand. How many of you ate good meals today, or you ate? Raise your hand. Anybody here? If you're fasting, don't, you know, that's okay. I hope you thank God for your food. God has been abundantly good to us, hasn't He? You know, it's pretty cold outside today. Is your home heated today? Was it? Did you pause and say, God, thank you that while others are out in the cold, I'm in a warm place. And God, you provided this. I want to thank you for your provision. You're good to me, Lord. And I just want to say thank you. See, pride will prevent you from doing that. Because pride will tell you, well, you know what? You worked and you paid that power bill. Pride will tell you that it's the electric company or it's the gas company that's why you're warm. And while there may be a little bit of that so, without God, none of that would be possible. And we know these things, but yet if we're not careful, pride will cause us not to be thankful. Because pride is self-reliance. Pride is independence from God. And the thing that follows those things always is ingratitude. Ingratitude. Search it out in the Scripture. Search it out in life. Search it out in history. Abundance that we think we are responsible for always goes without thankfulness. So what does the Bible say about it? And we'll close. All right, let's look at it. Our time is up. I'm just going to read some scripture to you. What does the Bible say about pride?
Look, if you would, in Proverbs, or in chapter number 6. Turn over to chapter number 13. Would you do that? I'm just going to read some scripture to you. And I hope that you'll see why God hates this sin and how this sin can get in and choke the life out of you and choke the life out of me and choke the life out of our church and choke the life out of our homes and choke the life out of what we need the most, and it's revival. We need revival. But pride will tell you, you don't. You're good. You're good. Actually, pride says what you really need to do is compare yourself with other people, and you're all right. Are you in Proverbs 13? Look at verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Wow, what's that mean, preacher? Does that mean that every point of contention, every problem that we have is by pride? I don't think so. I think a lot of problems we have is because of pride. But notice again what the scripture's saying. Notice what it says. It didn't say problems, it said contentions. See, every problem can be resolved. But because of pride, they're not. So what Solomon is saying here is that, you know, there's no problem too big to solve. There's just people too little to solve them because of pride. I'm not going to say I was wrong. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. See, contention, pride causes contention. And as a matter of fact, I think Solomon was very clear here, only by pride. When you can't work out a problem, it's pride. That goes in the church, that goes in your home, that goes on the job. It's pride. See, pride's a very powerful thing. Turn over to chapter number 15, if you would. Proverbs 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. Proverbs 15, verse number 25. The scripture says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. And I'm telling you what God said. So I'm not going to deal with my pride. God said, well, then I'll deal with it. God said, I'll tell you what you do. You humble yourself, and then I won't humble you. But if you don't humble yourself, I will humble you. Now, you don't want God to humble you. I don't want God to humble me. And we're going to talk next week about how to humble ourselves. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Doesn't it say that? It says it in that 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. How do you humble yourself? What does that look like? Well, we'll talk about that. We said we'll talk about the how next week. We're talking about the what and the why. Pride. It's a great hindrance to our lives. And God said, it's such a hindrance. I hate it so much, I'm going to destroy the house of the proud. That's what he said here in Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know what the word haughty means? It's a very interesting word. It is. It means lofty, raised up, looking down on others. I'm something. I'm somebody. And God said, well, you're getting ready to take a fall. What you're getting ready to do. And pride goeth before destruction. Some people won't do. They just won't do until they've hit bottom. God has spoke and spoke and spoke and put people in the pathway of their life, and they have refused and refused. Why? Because pride goeth before destruction, and they won't get rid of it. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Now, I know better. I know better than the policeman. I know better than the government. I know better than my preacher. I know better. I know. Nobody gonna tell me. Pride goeth before destruction. God said, well, okay, if you don't humble yourself, I'll humble you. I'm telling you, this is the word of God. This is not some man. This is not my thoughts. This is God's word. Look over, if you would, in chapter 18. I've got just a few more and we'll be done tonight. Chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse number 12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. It just keeps saying it, doesn't it? Notice, if you would, in in Proverbs 29, and we're going to come back some, but look at Proverbs 29. I've got about four more, and then we'll be through and have prayer. But I want you to see this. It just has a lot. So this is the book of wisdom here, okay? And God is saying in the book of wisdom, I want you to be wise about this matter of pride, because pride can be deceptive. And when people think about sin, they don't think about pride. They think about adultery, and they should. And they think about drunkenness and debauchery, and we should. And they think about thievery and murder, and we should. But I'm going to tell you something. There's people in this room that wouldn't even, listen, they wouldn't consider stealing something. But pride will get you. Preacher, there's no way that I cheat on a test, but pride will get you. You see, it's spoken of a lot because it's something that we all deal with. You may not deal with the sin of adultery or the sin of drunkenness or addiction, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to deal with this sin. It's a sin that we all deal with. Look over, if you would, in chapter number 29, Proverbs 29. Look at verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. You listening? A man's pride will bring him low, to bring you down. You say, no, it won't. Yes, it will. Not because I said so. God said so. Nobody going to tell me. God said, I am. I made you. I'm going to tell you. Let me give you a couple more. Look back to chapter number 16, Proverbs 16. We'll look at Proverbs 16, and then we'll look at one more and be done tonight. Look at Proverbs 16. Look at verse number 5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand be joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That's God's word, brethren. And then this is the one I save for last in Proverbs 21, because this one says something that tells us a little bit about I can do life without God. Proverbs 21, and this will be our final one. We'll have a word of prayer and take some prayer requests and close our meeting tonight. Proverbs 21, look if you would in verse number 4. And high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. You know, that kind of seems out of place. You know, I mean, when you look at that, look again, a high look and a proud heart, and that goes together. You know what a high look is, like somebody just always looking down on people and just rolling their eyes like, oh, you simple little somebody. Poor pitiful you. A high look, a proud heart, but the plowing of the wicked. What's that have to do with pride? When you look into the background of this verse of Scripture, it's saying, you know what? I done it all. I prepped, I plowed, I sowed, I reaped. I did it all. But the wicked doesn't do it that way. Well, the wicked actually does do it that way. The believer says, God gave the soil, right? God gave me the strength to do the plowing. God gave me the machinery, if I used it, to do the plowing. God gave me the seed to sow. God gave the rain to water and to nourish the crop. God preserved the crop that I might have to partake of. See, that's the attitude, but not of the wicked. No, the plowing of the wicked is sin, because the wicked says, you know what? I did it. That's the high look. That's the proud heart. Self-sufficiency. I don't need God. You say, well, preacher, that's a sorry somebody that would live that way. Now, be careful. Be careful. Don't call yourself names. Are you living that way? Are you asking God? Are you thanking God? Are you acknowledging God in all of thy ways? The Bible says we're to do that. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so don't let pride creep in now, and you just acknowledge him in the big stuff or the crisis stuff. But the rest of it, I got this.
How much hardship and heartache could we avoid if we would seek the Lord and not allow pride to make us self-reliant and self-sufficient? God, help me. And I mean that with all this within me. God, help me not to think that I've got this. I want to confess before God and before man, I do not got this. I know it's not good grammar, but it's the truth in my heart. I do not have this. I don't know how to pastor. I don't know how to shepherd. I don't know how to be a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, a friend. I don't know how to do anything. I can't do anything without him. God, help me to understand that. But now on the flip side of that, help me to take great confidence in through him I can do all things, because he strengthens me. And I'm thankful for that. Would you stand with me for just a few moments, and we'll have prayer, and then we'll have some prayer requests, okay? Let's pray together. Father, I preach the message you laid on my heart. And God, I have a desire in my heart for help. And I pray you'd help me. I don't want to depend on me. God, I'm weak, but thou art strong. And I can't, but God, you can. And you don't need me, but I need you. Just help me to keep the proper perspective, Lord. Help me not to lose the right perspective on who I am and who you are and what it takes in life. God, help me and help these people. Help us, Lord. We need your help. Help us that realize we need help. And God, for those that may not realize it, I pray you'd help them by helping them to realize they need help. And God, I'm glad for your promise and your word that you are our helper. And I pray that we would acknowledge you in all of our ways. Help us, Lord. Remind us, dear Lord, to trust you. To remember that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.